Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Okta. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
The Army Corps of Engineers operates networks that interact widely with the Army, the other armed services, state and local governments, and contractors throughout the world. So it has special requirements for maintaining identity integrity and good customer experience. I got an update from the Corps of Engineers Chief Information Officer to various peoples.
Actually, we have it's very large when you think about it. So from a Corps of Engineers perspective, when you think about our mission, three lines of missions, the MIL program for construction agent for DOD. And then when you think about civil, we manage all of the levees, locks, dams, and critical waterways in the United States. And then you think about the disaster relief mission. Within the Corps of Engineers, we are the executive agent that actually moves those things forward. So when you think about things such as COVID-19, we participate and supported the alternate care facility stand-up. When you think about floods and hurricanes, we actually put blue tarp roof missions on houses to ensure that there's no additional damage and that users who have been impacted by significant events have the ability to go back into their houses as well as salvage a lot of the material that's there. So we have a huge externally facing mission for the Corps of Engineers. So customer experience, end user experience, collaboration, internal as well as external, not just to the DOD, but also the federal community, as well as the state and local. That is a huge encompassing mission from the Corps of Engineers.
Right. That blue tarp issue is a really illustrative one because you have to deal with the people ultimately receiving the blue tarp, the wrecked homeowner. But then there are the vendors that actually do the work that you deal with, the individual contractors, and the sources of supply of the material that is used. So you've got kind of a matrix of groups you're dealing with, all of which are what you might call in the government context retail type of encounters.
Yes, sir. And it's so we're in the business of public service, customer service, as well as end user devices, end user enhancements, really trying to satisfy and assist the public in any way. So really, public service is key as to what we do, being able to reach out to all levels, truly inclusive, all encompassing, really supporting the nation in critical times. So we definitely have a huge element there.
And maybe give us a survey of the applications that are critical in all of this and all of these interactions that you have with these different people that do business in one way or another with the Army Corps.
Yeah, so we have many critical applications. Some that come to mind, we have the Blue Roof mission, as I said before, where we put tarps on houses in times of disasters when they're blown off by hurricanes. We actually have mission critical applications such as that of what we call UCOP, which is our unified command operating picture, which allows us to be able to see the entire landscape from a terrain perspective, identifying where there's pockets of flooding, saturation, which allows us to be able to be more predictable in regards to identifying if in fact something is gonna flood. That gives us the ability also to begin to look at our levees, levees for waterways. So when you think about the Mississippi, when you think about areas such as New Orleans, from a Corps of Engineers perspective, we manage and maintain those specific mission critical applications that allow us to make those critical decisions, when to raise the levees, when to lower them, when to allow for ships to pass through for cargo and those type of things. And we also manage a lot of the dredging applications as well and the dredging mission, which allows us to be able to dredge for navigation, expand the waterways that allow for that type of commerce and those type of things to come through as well. So we have a lot of mission critical applications that really help us move the mission forward. We even have project management tools that we're using and leveraging that the Corps of Engineer manages as it pertains to the construction aspects of things, or that of what we do on the military programs, as well as DOD side of the house when we're building construction buildings on camps, posts, and stations to support the mission, as well as at project sites where we're doing a lot of construction as well to support the mission in those aspects, also building and restoring different mission critical capabilities and assets.
And how do people access these applications? Is it still mainly a web type of interface on a PC, or are you getting more into the mobile and, you know, whatever form necessary for that client?
So users are accessing it through a PC for our external users going through a web client. External users meaning those that are in our state and local areas that are true end users. But then we also, from an IT perspective, being that we're in the aspect of delivering service, we also look at our end users being that of our 44,000 users within the Corps of Engineers that are actually employed. So we look at end users from two perspectives. One being the user that is receiving the service, being that of someone in the state and local area that has a need. And then two, we look at our end user as a employee in the Corps of Engineers that need to perform their job. Now, for those employees that need to perform their job, we are providing them mission critical applications that can be leveraged on a mobile platform, meaning from a mobile device, an iPad, an iPhone, Android devices, and those type of things, through whether that's a secure browser or even through a secure app, a secure mobile app. So we have made leaps and strides in being able to secure those platforms. But ultimately, the key goal is to be able to access mission critical data. And that's ultimately what we're beginning to enhance as well as modernize within the Corps of Engineers. And that end user experience and that feedback is critical to helping us being able to meet the mission goals and objectives.
And let's talk about those 44,000 employees for a moment. Some of them are civilians, some of them are uniformed, and you need to have a system to maintain well-known and verifiable identity. So maybe let's walk through the identity, credentialing, access, the ICAM system that you have for both sides of this, really the same coin.
Yeah, so right now we are going through our ICAM modernization. We're on that journey, just as the department is. So we are now identifying various applications that we are integrating into the larger DoD effort that is ongoing, that the Army is actually working through as well. From a USACE perspective, we have technology that we're modernizing off of. Right now, we do have an ICAM solution, and that ICAM solution manages all of our identities, as well as access into our network. However, we have come to a point where we must modernize and as well as to stay in compliance with a lot of the DoD directives. We are moving forward in that manner now, which will give us more access, better access, or optimal access to a lot of our mission critical data, as well as applications, as well as in a more secure manner. That's one of the objectives of the ICAM initiative, to be able to reach mission critical data in a more secure manner, in a controlled manner, and be able to prevent adversarial threats. So we are working to modernize that solution as we speak right now.
And what's your vision for the end state? For example, how will it look to users? Let's start there, and then we'll talk about the network administrators. But to users, for example, will there be no more passwords?
From a user perspective, I won't say there won't be any passwords. There is a possibility that there could be a password. It depends on how you categorize an end user. Right. So you have an end user as an employee.
Right. Let's stick with employees for the moment, and then we'll get to the general public. Yeah. But yes, employees, then yes. Two-factor. But does one have to be a password? Can one be the ID of their phone or something like that? I mean, there's the CAC card, too.
Yes. From our end users, we are, for employees within the Corps of Engineers, we are leveraging two-factor authentication. That is with your CAC. You have your CAC, which is your two-factor authentication. As of this moment, we are moving away from username and passwords, which we've moved away from that pretty significantly. We rarely use username and passwords for the majority of our applications now to access our network. So username and password, we have gotten away from that. Granted, there's still some residual things that may use that, but that is not the standard. We do use two-factor utilizing our CAC cards.
Got it. And so in the future state, then the CAC card, will that still be part of it?
The CAC card will be a part of it from a two-factor perspective. Also, soft tokens. The soft token credentialing capability is also what we're leveraging to give mobile users the ability to have access, because some of those mobile devices don't have built-in CAC cards. So we are leveraging that as well. And also looking at some aspects of, from an artificial intelligence perspective, some aspects of even biometrics at certain points, being able for facial recognition to unlock some of your devices as well. So we're exploring a lot in technology that we're beginning to look at from the Corps of Engineers to make things efficient.
Yeah, that point of biometrics, that seems to be making a little bit of a comeback versus a few years ago. There are more machines now that have fingerprint readers, and facial, I think, is getting more acceptance, especially as some of the public-facing agencies like from TSA and so forth get people used to the idea.
Yeah, it's not the standard, but one of the things from a technology perspective, just exploring and looking at all avenues, because when you think about things such as your iPhones, iPhones use a lot of facial recognition in order to unlock those type of devices. So we are beginning to look at how to properly secure those, allow our end users to be, or our employees to be able to use those devices in its current capacity, as if you have a regular device from your personal use at home. So we're looking at all aspects to make that device secure, and facial recognition, which is an aspect of biometrics, is one of those ways.
And for those identities that are now established and verified, what is your strategy for storing them, maintaining them, so that they can be accessed worldwide?
Yeah, so we're storing those credentials, utilizing a lot of the cybersecurity practices and principles, looking at not just a zero trust for zoning and being able to partition and separate, but we're also looking at how do we maintain the credentials from a forest registry perspective as well, to ensure that there's no misuse of those credentials, but also whenever needed, you have the ability to distribute those, check them in, check them out from a network administrator perspective, but always being able to access the environment utilizing your token. So our system administrators, as well as our employees, leverage the environment utilizing two-factor, their CAT cards, which is a form of two-factor authentication. So that is the key to the kingdom as we continue to evolve.
And you mentioned also use of artificial intelligence. How does that come into the picture?
Yeah, we're beginning to identify how that can be baked in operationally. We haven't identified all aspects and we haven't figured out all solutions at this point. But that is a concept as we modernize and move into the FY23-24 fiscal year specifically. We're beginning to look at how artificial intelligence can be baked in from a data perspective, from a security perspective, and from a mission collaboration standpoint.
Devarius Peoples, Chief Information Officer of the Army Corps of Engineers. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The executive order on cybersecurity is a big step towards securing our nation through zero trust. It starts with identity, and Okta leads the way with a modern FedRAMP authorized identity cloud that supports NIST, CISA, and other zero trust standards. Okta centralizes identity and access, delivers strong multi-factor authentication, and integrates all your technologies with a vendor-neutral approach. Learn more at okta.com/fedzerotrust. That's okta.com/fedzerotrust.
Welcome back to our interview with Devarius Peoples, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Our topic is identity management and customer experience in the cloud era. And let's talk about the public users or the non-employee types of users, and maybe go back to the blue tarp example. You want to be sure that the person accessing services is, when they come back, is the same person, that it's going to go to the correct house and so forth. And how do you make sure that the identity management there holds up?
Yeah, so we begin to look at different solutions when you begin to think about it, and we've actually implemented it in several aspects. It's utilizing, for those that are familiar with the USA jobs construct, is multiple forms of two-factor authentication. So in certain aspects where a username and password is required, we also have implemented an additional form of verification and validation, meaning you input your username, you input your password, and then there would be like a user code sent either back to your mobile phone or to your personal email that you would have to input those credentials as well as another form of safeguarding your credentials and verifying your access before you are allowed the ability to leverage that specific capability. So that allows those users that are not DOD employees, that do not have a CAT card or even a PIV card in the federal community, to be able to access those mission critical capabilities in a more secure manner. So we are looking, and we have looked at and implemented in some construct on certain mission critical applications that are truly public facing to have a more secure access and connection from a credentialing verification validation perspective.
Because one of the aspects of good customer experience is that people understand that their own identities won't disappear because of accessing a service, even if it is the federal government. And so the notion of phishing resistance comes up. And I imagine you're looking at that also.
Yeah, phishing is one of those things that we're looking at closely. A lot of things in the cybersecurity realm, we're beginning to not just continue to look at, but we're taking an even more in-depth look our end-user aspects of things. How do we educate the end-user, ensure that they're properly aware of the things that they should be looking for, which translate not just from their professional life, but also into their personal life as well, too. So we run different tutorials. We run different communication channels to our individual users. And we also do a lot of internal training simulations as well and report back to our end users, hey, these are the things you need to be looking for, just to ensure that we are not vulnerable or susceptible to that. And a lot of that is more end user education that we try our best to really enhance that understanding from our end users.
And how can this all hold up for people that and you might be dealing with people like that that don't have smartphones. There's still a few people out there that are, let's say, flip phone oriented.
Yeah, so within our organization, within our environment, we have gotten away from the flip phone construct. I mean, technology is more from the flip phone construct. However, we work very aggressively as well as studiously to ensure that we maintain current version levels, meaning ensuring that our users continue to update their mobile devices at the current and acceptable levels to prevent legacy and aging technology from being within the environment. Now, granted, there's still areas of improvement in that, but one of the things we do to ensure that our mobile devices are compliant, even our workstations are compliant, we push the latest patches. We ensure that our users have those patches on their workstations as well as their mobile phones, because after a certain time, if you're not up to par or in compliance, then we either remove you or we prevent your access from the network or from that application until you have performed those mission critical upgrades. That keeps us in more current technologies, a better standing for current technology as we continue to move forward.
And for those people out in the public, say if an impoverished area, you know, a trailer park or something gets blown up and you need to blue tarp over there, again, you might have people that are maybe a step behind in technology that they own.
Yeah, so that's a part, when you look at that as a part of the disaster relief mission that we have within the Corps of Engineers, we have deployable capabilities that quickly stand up technical capabilities that support the mission in those rural areas where there may be a weaker signal strength or less than optimal connections. We work with a lot of our vendors that provide telecommunication support to allow us to be able to meet the mission even in an interim capacity or interim state until we can work with the state, local area providers to restore communications in those areas, but still be able to function properly as we go forward.
And what are the implications of all of that external work for your zero trust strategy? Because you still have to have that in a way that can't be violated, even though there's a contingency out there with temporary types of networks and communications.
Yeah, from a zero trust perspective, it forces us to look at things from a scenario base, because when you look at zero trust, one size doesn't fit all. So really looking at the scenarios, defining the requirements, as well as identifying those who really need access and allowing them that opportunity. Those are all the various concepts that have to be deployed when you examine the concept of zero trust. So being that is the case, that is how we approach the deployment and implementation of it from the various command areas that we are responsible for overseeing.
And with respect to the cloud, and the Army Corps of Engineers and every other agency has a big cloud strategy, it seems like cloud is playing a more important role in ID management as opposed to maintaining your own local database of everyone you have to maintain. Is that part of your thinking, and or how does cloud play in here?
Cloud is a true enabler, and from a Corps of Engineers perspective, we are aggressively moving to the cloud. We're moving a lot of our applications to the cloud due to the efficiencies that it brings, the optimization, as well as the ability to collaborate throughout the enterprise and share data. And with that being said, from a zero trust perspective, we are baking those concepts even into our cloud modernization journey. So it's not an afterthought. It is baked in at the beginning, and we are using a scenario-based construct in order to effectively deploy the zero trust methodology and framework into our day-to-day operational construct, cloud or in our hybrid cloud concept, meaning some aspects are on-prem as well. Being able to tie all of those things together, that is how we're approaching it.
So you have to really tie all of those things, as you mentioned, together with your ICAM modernization. So that specifically has a cloud basis or a cloud component to it?
Yes, it has an aspect of cloud, ICAM, cloud, those things do correlate together. And as we build these things out, we definitely take all of those things into consideration.
And a final question, what about data sources for use in verification? A lot of agencies are turning to commercial data sources so that if, you know, Joe Smith logs on, Mary Smith, you know, there might be a lot of people named Mary Smith, but there are third-party data sources that can augment what the agency maintains to just ensure that that person is who they say they are.
Yeah, so we haven't really explored the third-party aspect of the data sources. We within the environment, we identify and have a true authoritative data source. The issue is, from a complexity perspective, is really ensuring that the data source is authoritative. And that's what we're beginning to perform the analysis on. So we haven't explored a third party individual verifying and validating that the authoritativeness, but we are looking at our own capabilities to ensure that it's authoritative, meaning sifting through the stale objects and the stale data to make sure that those that are inside of our environment are actually a part of our organization, or at least have a requirement to access mission critical data inside of the organization. So that's how we're beginning, and that's how we are examining a lot of the authoritative data sources from a verification, validation, access, connectivity perspective.
And finally, your timeline for the ICAM redo?
Well, we're on an 18, 24 month timeline to really get it right, ensuring that the funding aligns, the resources and the people align, as well as the strategy. We have begun to identify mission critical applications that need to be aligned with the ICAM strategy. So that is underway now as per the directive, the DOD, as well as the Army directive. So we have started that and we've identified those apps and laid out that high level timeline for a lot of those mission critical applications as we speak.
Devarius Peoples, Chief Information Officer of the Army Corps of Engineers. For more on this interview or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Okta, on Federal News Network.
The executive order on cybersecurity is a big step towards securing our nation through zero trust. It starts with identity, and Okta leads the way with a modern FedRAMP authorized identity cloud that supports NIST, CISA, and other zero trust standards. Okta centralizes identity and access, delivers strong multi-factor authentication, and integrates all your technologies with a vendor-neutral approach. Learn more at okta.com/fedzerotrust. That's okta.com/fedzerotrust.
Hi, I'm Mike Richmond of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, with this message for veterans. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they each cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app to sign up for a free lifetime pass. I'm Mike Richmond.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.